cliffcentral.com.
Good morning, indeed. Good morning, and I have the joy and happiness to report to you that this morning is the first time I've done the show for a number of months where I actually have just a t-shirt on instead of layers and layers of jerseys and tops and, you know, it goes like winter. I know that there might still be a I want to be the guy who jinxes things, but I feel like it's getting warmer. I feel like it's also becoming a little more pleasant. There's stuff to do. If you've got weekend plans, let us know about it. Please. Want to hear from you. All right. Lots of things happening in the world that we need to talk about. Some of it is news. Some of it's just nonsense. Either way, you can get hold of us on 0797482090. Do it like, for example, Dudley has. So Dud says, Western Australia has been relatively COVID-free and has its borders closed. As soon as there is a breach in quarantine, as was the case in Victoria, Western Australia will do the same as Victoria. Yeah, and that'll be the problem. You can't stay closed forever. You know how Darth Vader says in Return of the Jedi, you cannot hide forever, Luke, to his son. That's exactly what we're talking about.
Oh.
You can't hide from all this stuff. You can't hide from this dumb disease. It's going to come get you at some point. Get you. It's going to get you.
The COVID's going to get you.
COVID is going to get you. So, Leanne, what are you pouring there? Is that a gin?
Yeah, sure. It's a gin through my Brita filter. I now filter my gin.
Oh, that's the way the professionals do. That's how they're really impressive.
That's a lot
people.
Of water for the morning.
Well, what can I say?
They
I'm
say
a water
you've got,
person.
They say you've got to hydrate, Sia. You've got to do lots of different quantities depending on your size. It's like, what is it, 5 liters a day is a minimum or something like that?
Well, that's why I've got to have 25 liters of water a day.
Like an elephant.
Yes.
With your trunk in the watering hole.
I'm actually on a drip as well as we speak.
Oh, sure. So much going on.
Time.
You know, people send these videos around of animals doing funny things. I don't know if you saw that that leopard that was in that private game reserve, right? In the lodge.
Why haven't I seen that?
So great. It's been all over the internet. You guys are obviously not in groups that care about you.
The version that I saw was someone saying something along the lines of, oh, what a beautiful, majestic moment. I'm like, bitch, the person could have died. What majestic moment is it?
So what was it inside a person's lodge?
Well, it was in the reception area of, I can't remember the name of the game lodge, but
I'm trying to find it.
This beautiful leopard walking through there. And listen, if you go to a game reserve, that is like hitting the jackpot.
Ah, here it is. Singita Ebony Lodge, Sabi Sands.
Okay, so Singita Ebony Lodge. Beautiful, beautiful place, by the way. And if you go to a nature reserve and you go to a lodge like this, that is that's like the bullseye of possible experiences. A leopard walks through your lodge. That's not scary, Sia. That's what you've gone there for. If you don't want to see animals, don't go there.
No, it's not for myself.
I want to see the animal when I'm on a game drive and I could quickly drive away, not while I'm having breakfast and it's walking in between me and my croissant.
Okay, well, that's the usual experience here. Like 999 times out of 1,000, that's what you will have. But occasionally, a leopard, no one was hurt, no one was killed. The leopard didn't attack anybody. It was just doing its business and walking through the lodge.
No, I'm looking at the picture now. I'm like, my knees went to jelly.
It's amazing. Yeah. It walks right past this guy. He's basically standing up against the wall, and the leopard just ambles past. But man, what a magnificent creature. People send these videos. There was a video I got yesterday of a wildebeest that had obviously a lion had attacked it to kill it. And the wildebeest fought back against the lion. It took the lion up. These things have such strong necks and they've got horns, obviously. And it lifted.
Sounds like my ex-boyfriend.
it lifted this lion into the air. It was absolutely spectacular. And then chased the lion, like wasn't going to let go. It had a vendetta. Went after this lioness and she was running for her life.
She had stories to tell when she got back to the den.
You definitely have to respect nature. But I know if I was at that Sabi lodge, I think I would have been dead.
Oh, wow.
Because I always had this irrational fear, even while I was still at school, and we would have to practice fire drills.
Yeah.
Whenever we would have to do them, in the back of my head, I would always think, there is no way in hell, if there is a legitimate fire, that I would be here waiting in an orderly line, counting everyone, and then taking, 12 steps forward and going down the stairs. No, I would be screaming. I'd probably jump off
the
ledge.
Don't panic. Run.
I would. So same thing with this cheetah. While everyone, if you haven't seen it, the whole the staff there is signaling to each other and they're being very silent. I would have squealed and started running.
Look, it's a beautiful sight. I'm watching it now.
I would love to see that. That would be just unbelievable.
Just strolling around up the stairs, so graceful. Mm. But yeah, I'd probably watch it from the chandelier. Which I'd be hanging from by my nails.
And then talking about random animal videos, I saw a video on Twitter called "The Most New York Thing I've Seen in a While," which was a rat fighting with a pigeon.
Yeah, New York's obsessed with its rat videos.
Well, apparently New York has got a major problem with rats because so many people have moved out of the city during COVID and either gone to their holiday homes, which are in the Hamptons or another state, or else they've completely got out because they just couldn't afford the rent anymore and they'd lost their jobs. There are plenty of places in New York now where the rats have total control.
Obviously they can afford the rent.
Yeah, the rats are the only ones who can afford it. So that's part of the problem. And they have enormous rats there.
Rats as big as cats. How does it go?
Yeah, there were rats big as fucking cats in the store. Yeah. It's great. What a great song. Big as cats, yeah. So these rats eat because there's always rubbish around in New York. You know, there's a huge amount of, you think of an apartment building with, 200 people in it, and that's a small apartment building in New York. They generate a huge amount of rubbish. So the rubbish gets put outside the building in the street and then gets collected. But in that time in between, the rats have a feast.
Ooh.
Yeah, they're great. Great rats of New York. The greatest rats. They are the greatest rats. Most tremendous rats. The rat king of New York. The rat king of New York is running for rat president of the United States of the rats.
They are low energy rats.
They're very high energy because people are trying to kill them the whole time and poison them and everything else.
As much as we see President Trump in all of his glory right now, I also think there were rock star phases that he went through. Randomly, a video of him in the early 90s popped up in my YouTube stuff.
Is that the one where he's dancing with all those girls?
No, but I know exactly which one you're talking about there. He was dealing with press at the entrance of Trump Tower after Michael Jackson and his then wife, Lisa Marie Presley, had just gotten married and they had bought an apartment in Trump Tower. Mm-hmm. So Donald Trump was there and he was milking every moment. You could tell he was loving this. One of the reporters was asking him, well, Donald, this is a very big deal. He says, yeah, this is a secret I've known for a long time. This is a big deal, big, big deal. And they got a big apartment. I thought, of course.
Oh, my gosh.
Was their apartment huge?
Of course. And I think now it's being sold. Well, this is like 2 years ago. That apartment was sold for like $23 million.
Sure.
According to a message we just got from Janet, she says, you guys are on fire this morning and loving the laughs. Thanks for a great show. My favorite video is still the one of the little girl burying her goldfish. Sia, please go and find it and watch it over the weekend.
Okay. What? That sounds sad.
And Mpihleng saying, listen to the the two Abelungus loving the leopard. Y'all are nuts. No, no black person would stand there and take pictures. We would be throwing plates at the thing while calling our dead moms to come and save us.
I don't argue with Pitlang, yes.
Hey, apparently Elon Musk, with his new Neuralink, hooked up a couple of pigs to this thing. The results are not mind-blowing yet, but you can imagine the awesome ramifications for the future. Yeah, definitely. That sounds awesome. I will look it up. Dwayne Williams sending us that message.
Why did he hook up pigs?
Well, because you got to test it on something. So if he can test this Neuralink on pigs and it works, then they can start testing it in humans.
Don't like that, but anyway.
Well, maybe the pigs come out super smart. Pigs start to talk. Imagine the pig says...
Maybe they can fly.
Maybe the pig says, you know what? I've had enough of you people experimenting on me. And they go, what? Did you hear that? Where did that come from? And it's like the movie Babe. The fucking thing can talk.
Maybe they'll just say oink. Oink, 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 oink.
Maybe.
Well, or the pigs could start flying. Literally.
Yeah.
I don't think that's going to happen. Neuralink doesn't grow you wings. You two are such idiots.
It's not Red Bulls, yeah.
It just...
Don't leave me now, Leanne. I thought you were with me.
It just connects to your brain. I mean, really.
Gareth, why do I get the funny suspicion that you wouldn't pick Leanne and I to go and enter a general knowledge quiz with you?
You guys are not. Well, yeah, maybe. I mean, like, there's certain things that you two know that I definitely don't. And if you want a winning general knowledge team, and I know because I've been in many.
You've headed many.
You modest one, are you?
Yeah, but usually I get asked when someone else drops out or something. But I was on this team with a man who was then my girlfriend's dad. And and he had a very, like, he had a great system where he said, you know, this is the person who's in charge of sport and geography, for example. So he'd find people who were expert in that field. And this one's good at history and music. And yeah, because they always have these categories in these quizzes.
Yeah.
So I think you two would actually be quite good at certain things, but others not so much.
Oof, my knowledge, I can flat out say, is very, very, very limited.
Well,
but when it comes to Oprah and things, you know.
Yeah, if there was a category Oprah, you'd be on my team for sure.
Yeah.
Sport, Oprah and Beyonce.
History, Oprah.
Yeah. Oprah, Beyonce. Yeah. That's about it, though. That's a numerous clauses of Sia's areas of expertise. All right, listen to this quickly. Got a message here from Jean. Let's take a listen to this.
Guys, that Neuralink was crazy, that video. He's able to predict what the pig wants to do next by the signals its brain sends. So milliseconds before the pig does something, the signals get sent out, and they can predict what exact movements it's going to make. It is amazing.
That sounds phenomenal. So the pigs... They can predict what the pig's going to do a couple of seconds before the pig does it. That's amazing.
Sure.
Imagine attaching that to a person.
Would make relationships so much easier.
It would. Yeah. It would. I mean, I watched the funniest video yesterday. This dude it's obviously a joke, but he's written scripts for... husbands and boyfriends to use on their wives and girlfriends. So it's a pre-prepared script that you can read instead of getting into a fight. So if she says, what do you think of my new haircut? Then there's the script that says, I always thought you were beautiful before, but now you're even more beautiful, if that's even possible.
Yes, that's the right answer.
Or if she says, how do I look in this dress? You look amazing with or without that dress, but I think you've chosen the best dress because even though you were perfect before, this dress makes you even more perfect, if that's possible.
Yes!
I mean, none of it makes any sense, but, you know, to a guy, it makes no sense at all. But to women, it's like, oh, that's music to my ears.
Yes, absolutely.
Right.
No, you having a yes man like that would piss me off, actually.
I mean, I've had... men get it so wrong. Like, my ex-husband once wanted to start dating me again, so we tried.
Oh, no.
And we on the second date, he said to me, oh, thank goodness, that dress you wore last time made you look so fat.
Is that when you realize that there's no hope of you guys getting
back together? No, I still went on the date. When I realized there was no hope was when I said to him, what do you want? And like, I don't get what you want. And he said, I want the old Leanne back.
Jesus.
And that's when I realized. Yeah. But yeah, no, I've had a lot of people get it very wrong. So I would be willing to dish out that script at the beginning of a relationship.
And by the way, those last few lines are a perfect reason why you should never go back to your ex. Anyone.
Well, they're good points. But when you do go back to an ex, do you even court each other anymore? Or do you pick up where you left off? Like, okay, come in, move in. You know where the sugar is.
There's so much difficult and complex ground to cover. That's a real mission. You have to build the scaffolding. You have to climb up to the place that needs repairs. You need to fix it with polyfiller. Then you need
We just got straight into the sack. So I don't know.
Oh, really? You just had sex, huh? Is that what you did?
After a date, yes. And then made breakfast in the morning.
Yeah.
And then never saw each other again.
No, then it was the second date with the you looked fat and I want the old Leanne back.
Jesus.
So that's where it ended.
Because all of that first date or first couple of weeks or getting to know each other stuff is unnecessary when you're dating again.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't recommend it at all.
No, I would not recommend it either. I can tell you, I did end up, there's a girl I dated for like 2 years and then we broke up and then we kind of got together for a very short while after that, but it's never the same. And you can't go back in time and you can't reignite old fires. And I know that they sometimes do this in romance movies, but it's really not the way it works for real people in real life. It's hard.
But you see, I see the pros of it as well. What if you were good for each other, but were just dating at the wrong time? You know, maybe you were in your early 20s and you both were still very career driven.
There's an argument for that.
Yeah.
Everybody has different settings, and maybe there is something that brings two people together that will work at any time. And maybe there's this timing element that you're talking about, Sia. I don't know. I'm not experienced enough with dating exes a second time, but I just know that in the majority of situations, here's the problem is that people have expectations and they're not honest about those expectations. So although it was a painful thing for you to hear from him, Leanne, that he wanted the old Leanne back, it also made it clear in your head that this was not for you and that you couldn't fulfill his needs. Right?
Absolutely.
So as horrible as it was for him to be as honest as that and to say to you, I want the old Leanne back, that was actually the best thing he could have done for both of you.
Yeah, you're absolutely 100% right.
It's so hard. You even see this in friendships. Forget about relationships, but there are friends that I thought I'd be friends with all my life, and those people I hardly talk to anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, relationships, to survive a change, a relationship has to be something special.
And really, like, everybody thinks their relationship is special, but it might be as simple as, you know, it's companionship. It might be sex. It might be a mutual love of skydiving or something silly like that. Those could be the reasons that you're with someone, and you've just never really acknowledged it because you're too afraid that if you say it out loud or you say it to yourself in your head, that it'll all end, and you quite like the feeling of where you're at the moment. You don't really care about the person, but you like the way that they make you feel.
Yeah, and it's sad to realize that it might be something that works right now.
Jeez, yeah, that is a tough thing to acknowledge, too. It's like, I just need a Band-Aid at the moment, or I'm
a
lonely.
A season, a reason, or a lifetime.
Yeah, exactly. Shit. All right. This was not
this conversation is actually genuinely making me creep back into my non-relationship shell. It's reaffirming everything I don't want.
I reckon anyone listening to this is going to be saying those three have got a major problem on their hands.
That's okay. We could have told you that anyway.
Yeah. Leighton says, Leighton sent us, I think he sent us a song that he's written or something. I must listen to it. I haven't listened to it yet. I'll get to it. Leighton says, please send me the script that where the guy tells the girl exactly the right thing. I would need that. He says that's usually what it is with an ex. If the sex used to be good, that's where you pick up again. It's called backsliding.
Ah.
Yeah, that's true. Hey, Sia, it is Beyonce's birthday today. Can you sing for her, please?
That is from Sarah.
All right, Sarah wants you to sing some Beyonce.
No, why did you read that message?
Because it's her birthday and because Sia loves her so much, here is Sia Sangweni with a Beyonce song.
Well, I do have to make a note. It is, it's B-Day today, the 4th of September. It's my niece's birthday as well. She's turning 2. And, just makes it extra special. So,
here we are.
Oh, boy.
I'll save it for later.
It's a finger.
No, that was you warming up. Come on. We need at least give us a chorus of some well-known song, not some shitty throat clearing like you just did.
If you like it, then you should have put a ring on it.
That's not even how the song goes.
No,
I thought I could rethink it a little. It's my acoustic falsetto version.
Very good.
Yeah, sure.
I will be watching Beyonce's documentary later today to celebrate.
Were you in the choir?
Excuse me? I was a choir leader in primary school.
I must have been very short-staffed.
Hey, I'm actually folding my arms in this in protest. Can I tell you a weird, cool thing that I did? Because I was obsessed with High School Musical when I was at school, I made the whole choir sing High School Musical, and then I was like the Troy Bolton. You guys don't know.
Troy Bolton,
Zac Efron character. No. Never mind. I'm talking to the wrong crowd.
See, we went down that rabbit hole. I just want to thank Sarah for bringing up Beyonce because it wasted 3 minutes of my life I'll never get back. But okay, there we go. Here's an interesting point of view about two things that came up yesterday from Tabo. Tabo says, first of all, don't watch Altered Carbon. It got cancelled after season 2.
Oh, hate it when that happens.
Yeah, but Tabo, I was told to watch season 1, so I might just watch that and then stop. We'll see.
But then you're going to be as annoyed as Tabo once you get hooked, and then you want to watch season 2, and that's it.
He's trying to save me from pain, but really, Tabo, I've got to experience that myself. So thank you for that. And then he also says, we were talking, was it yesterday, about the Bible, Sia, and Leviticus?
Yes.
And we were saying, actually, there's a very, very small list of people who get to go to heaven, and it does not include short people or people with deformed feet or people with broken testicles.
Is that what the Bible says?
Yeah. Oh, the Bible's hardcore. Yeah,
Leviticus 21.
Also in Leviticus, according to Tabo, if you come from a broken home, i.e. divorce, you do not get to enter the kingdom of heaven.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Not for seven generations.
No, what? You see, that's like getting hooked onto a series that ends. You start reading the book from the beginning, and then you realize you're short and from a broken home.
You're definitely not going to heaven, ass.
And my testicles are screwed.
Do you know what? Hell now seems like it's going to be a taxi that's driving to town. That's full, prop full. Like 4 people in each row. Meanwhile, heaven is going to be like an Uber Black with just 1 person in it.
Exactly.
I don't know. I'm quite happy to be on that taxi if the music's blaring and we're drinking some deadly form of mampur.
Yeah.
I'd be happier.
I'm not excited by the idea of heaven. According to any available books that are considered canon in Christian history, heaven is really just a place where you worship God all day and all night. That doesn't sound like a lot of fun to me.
Ooh, heaven is a place on earth.
Okay, see, I mean, like hell, we know what goes on in hell, right? It's just, It's just sex and drugs and rock and roll.
Fantastic.
I mean, that to me is a lot more appealing.
So it's like,
oh gosh, I think when I'm in hell, I'll finally get my tattoo sleeves that I've always wanted.
Hey, speaking of going to hell, Nomvula Mokonyane, who's definitely going to go, she's definitely going to hell. She was at the
segue.
Yeah, she was at the State Capture Commission yesterday. I know it's no politics Friday, but eh. She was at the State Capture Commission yesterday. She had a 40th birthday party a couple of years ago, and she doesn't know who paid for it. But you know who paid for it was Busasa, because Agritsi, who's the guy who made all those startling revelations right at the beginning of the State Capture Commission, and he's come back a couple of times, he says, no, Busasa paid for her party. It was at some guest house in Kimberley. And she gets up there, but not, she said explicitly the last time she was there, no, I didn't have a 40th birthday party. This time, she gets asked a different question. She goes, yeah, I had a birthday party, but I don't remember who paid for it. It could have been my husband. Could have been someone. It was a surprise.
Oh, gosh.
You know, she's not even good at lying. She's not even good at lying.
That's hilarious.
It's amazing. The only time she tells the truth is by mistake.
Yeah, she slips up.
Yeah, she slips up and she tells a truth. Like most of us, we slip up and tell a lie. She slips up and tells the truth. She's like, oh, there was a party. Did I say that? Shit.
What a sad cop-out.
Yeah, and she's the one who they also delivered, what, boxes of meat, remember?
Mm.
Just so sad and pathetic. Like, this is what people's lives are. So anyway, I posted a picture of her on Instagram, and I said, here's Nomvula Mokonyane. Let me find the post for you quickly. And I tagged her. You know me. Okay. You know me. I'm in a tagger. Of course I'm in a tagger. So I posted a picture of her from the State Capture Commission. I said, when you run out of lies, but you still have a 3 million rand Aston Martin. She got that, she says, as a gift. Who gives someone a 3 million rand Aston Martin? No questions asked. Anyway, I said, this is what you look like then. That's how your face looks. Amandla.
Mm-hmm. She must have loved that.
Well, I don't know. I don't really care. I'm not trying to be friends with Nomvula Mokonyane, and I don't need her tenders. So
yeah, nor do you need a ride in her Aston Martin.
No, I would prefer not to. I think it probably smells of farts inside.
And boxes of meat.
Yeah, it's for boxes of like rotting meat in the boot.
Ew. Yeah.
Hey, well, talking about some leaders, it's King Goodwill's annual reed dance taking place tomorrow.
Oh, get your titties out!
Yes, ladies, ladies, line up and get ready for a reed dance. But during COVID, can he have a reed dance?
Absolutely, he can. He'll be live streaming it all.
Oh,
oh my goodness! How many does he pick from the dancers?
I think doesn't he pick the purest in inverted commas, one of them all, or at his leisure?
God, but I just think, the end of
come
that
on,
key.
Man. We all know we aren't getting to heaven, so sure. But I mean, come on. Doesn't he just want us to stop all of this now?
So embarrassing.
Yeah, so I feel sorry for the girls, because now if they're streaming this live, they're going to be people who are like capturing video of it on their computers or whatever. And, you know, it's like these young girls, they would usually go to a reed dance. And in the era before camera phones, they would maybe... Maybe they're shy, you know, but they'll get their titties out for this dance for the king. Mm-hmm. And then they'd know that, so some guys saw it, but they don't have to be embarrassed. Now, of course, someone's going to be videoing this. They're going to be streaming it. There's going to be some weird creep who, like, takes a screenshot or whatever, and then this girl's going to one day apply for a job at, you know, some mining company or working at a shop or something. And then they're going to, oh, you're the one from the titty video.
And, but I want to watch it tomorrow purely out of curiosity a little, because they're live streaming it on Facebook, on Twitter, and on the KZN. Who is it?
Now, Sia, you can say that you're doing it in order to, you know, you're a Zulu man and this is part of your culture, and you can actually use that as a good excuse. No one's going to argue with you.
Let's go with that. But I just want to see what it's going to be like. Are these girls in their own respective homes and they're live streaming themselves? And that just looks like you're Snapchatting away. And then will the king be sitting there staring at, you know, different screens of just
the gallery of titties?
It is creepy. Like the king needs to have this thing every. It's so weird. The whole thing is just weird. I don't get it.
And I'd love to know how many people still value the tradition of it all. And
yeah, I mean, see, are there still villages where women are walking around topless with grass skirts on?
No, well, I will go as far as saying no, but for events or traditional rituals, I know there are some people who still do that.
Mm.
But, you know, these girls aren't forced to do something like this, but they clearly also still value this. They still see it as something of pride in the year 2020. That's what's interesting to me. You know, when I look at my sisters, my eldest being 10 years older than me, when she turned 21, our family isn't even all too traditional, but when she turned 21, she was the one who actually asked my parents for a traditional ceremony to say that, no, she's a young woman now, and she did it all. And I mean, we did it in middle of suburbia, and we invited some people, and we had, you know, bevy of young girls shirtless and dancing and whatnot.
Oh, but, wow. Okay, so you actually did that as a family. That's interesting.
Yeah, that's what she requested. But then
okay.
3 years later, my second sister was like, nah, this means nothing to me.
I'll see you in the club.
She actually did it. She and her friends had on bras and tops on. And then by the time it got to my third sister, she's like, do what? No, I don't want this at all. She just had like a 21st party. So it's interesting how in the span of a couple of years, just within my own family, how tradition changes. But you still have communities who think to go get naked and to dance in front of a king is still something of great honor. And that's what I want to do.
Well, yeah. Listen, if it's totally voluntary, then I'm not going to get in the way. It's none of my business, and I've never attended a reed dance, and I don't think I have any desire to. And if
you'd
makes,
stick out like a sore thumb, I'll tell you that much.
You know what, Leanne? I probably would. But if everybody's consenting and it doesn't feel like there's any sort of power abuse or anything like that happening, then why not? But it is still weird. Like, you know, the king's kind of an old man now, and I get it. Like, maybe he's not even looking for a wife anymore. Maybe he's just, all right, let's do this thing.
Because part of the process as well is to test the young women to see whether they're still virgins or not.
Yeah, that's the part that I start developing a problem with, because then someone inspects them.
Mm.
You know, and it feels like, you know, it's like when they used to check if a woman was a witch because, you know, she has one thumb was longer than the other, or it just feels like a bit odd that you should be treating women. And because there is a preference for virgins in certain cultures, like the Zulu culture, it means that the women who are not virgins get looked down on, and everybody knows that they're not a virgin anymore. Now, that's nobody's business. If you're a young woman, you don't want everyone in the village to know that you're not a virgin anymore.
You're not walking around with your scarlet letter.
Correct.
Especially if you're at the only gay in the village.
Oh, my God. I mean, Sia, what's that like?
What would have happened for me?
Oh, you're sure. What, in the old days?
Yes.
I don't know, because there are varying stories about how, like, obviously there have been gay men and women throughout history, right? And if they were kings and queens, we knew about them. Obviously, if they were queens.
Ah, queen.
But if they were kings and queens, we knew about them because they could get away with anything because they were powerful, right?
Mm.
So they were a lot more open about it. But from what we can tell, throughout history, there have been gay men and women in all cultures and all societies. Some cultures are more tolerant. Some cultures are very accepting, even in history, I mean, ancient history. And then there were others that would just put people to death. So you're really luck of the draw. Like, you could be born into a village where they're very open-minded and, you know, there's a nice chief who didn't mind. He's like, yes, Sia's dating my son. but the other villages, where they would have just killed you straight away. Okay. You know,
they would have buried you alive.
Yeah, or put you up on a stick and let you dry out in the sun. It would not go well in all places.
God bless being born in the 21st century.
Yeah, and the same goes for ideas, right? So you didn't necessarily need to be gay or a witch to be burnt. Sometimes you just had ideas that they didn't like old Galileo in the 1500s or 1400s, where he said, you know what, I've been using this thing called the telescope, which I've made, and I've seen that actually Earth orbits the sun. And the Catholic Church was like, not a chance, motherfucker. You come to Rome and you recant right now, or we're going to lock you up for the rest of your life, or worse. And he was like, okay. All right. The Earth, as I said, is in the middle, and the sun goes round the Earth, like I said before, in that treatise that you've burnt.
Yeah, I don't know. I think maybe we should get a bit stricter and tougher on flat earthers in this day and age.
You think they're getting a free ride?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
flat. And anti-vaxxers.
Have you ever?
What would you like, Leanne? Gosh,
have you ever actually met a flat earther?
No, I watch videos of them on YouTube, but
because really, it's degrees, right? I mean, you get people who are flat earthers, and you get people who believe that the Queen is a lizard. And then you get people who believe, no, really, these people are all around us. And you get people who believe that Donald Trump is Jesus reincarnated. And then you get people who believe that the ANC are secretly stealing money. Oh, they are stealing
money. Oh, no, that one's real.
Oh.
So it really depends on how deep your conspiracy theory is willing to go. I've never met a flat earther. I can't say that.
I don't think I have.
So I think flat earthers are mostly embarrassed to admit that they're flat earthers. All right, I'm a flat earther. I've been a flat earther all my life. George, are you a flat earther?
Not to my knowledge.
She has to think about it.
I think George is secretly a flat earther as well.
We'll just judge you. After this call,
George, do you believe that they really went to the moon?
Yeah.
George, do you believe there's a Loch Ness monster?
No.
George, do you believe in Bigfoot?
Show me your feet.
George, how are your testicles? Because that'll let us know if you're going to heaven or not.
No, I don't believe in Bigfoot.
Okay. Right, and George, do you believe in love after love?
All right, so you can tell George we're very serious people this morning.
What was the name? Sher, yes?
Yes, Sher. Do you believe in love after love? You've got to have that funny sound to your voice. All right, so listen, George isn't here to have us waste his time, and you're not here to listen to have us waste your time, so let's get into some stuff. It is it's about 18 minutes to 8, cliffcentral.com. George Meany is with us. We're going to talk a little bit about cars and the lifestyle around cars and what's going on in the world. There are always interesting stories from all corners of the earth. George Meany, take it away. What do you got for us today?
Well, it looks like Apple is serious about this Apple car. Some very credible that may be launching an Apple car as early as 2023. So, you know, they've stolen or employed people from Tesla. They've tried to recruit. I mean, you can't hide 1,000 engineers. You know, when you hire 1,000 engineers, you can't hide the fact that you're working on a bloody car. So, but what's interesting about this car is it's got a few features, or it seems to have a few features based on the patents that people are analyzing, that is going to potentially trump Tesla. One of those is the car will prevent the doors from opening if the vehicle is sinking in water.
Oh, that's a good thing.
Yeah, I always thought so.
But then you'll be trapped in the car underwater. I mean, surely the best thing to do. I've seen movies where people go. You know, in fact, it's not a movie. Hang on, it's a true life story where Mary Jo Kopechne was being driven around by Ted Kennedy, and he drove her off a bridge, and then she drowned in the car. Because the pressure of the water on the car, you can't get out, and then you run out of oxygen.
Yeah, so they've solved this problem too, and that is the car will unlock the safety restraints automatically and deploy flotation devices automatically, and then also generate a distress signal.
Excellent.
So I wonder what this car is going to actually cost.
Watch the Kennedy family buy three.
I'll take three of those.
Hey, we need a couple of these cars for the compound at Hyannisport. We will store them in the garage until someone in the family decides to drive abroad off a bridge with too much whiskey in his system.
There we go, the anti-whiskey car. So this car is also able to detect life signs. And if there is a passenger or a pet in the car, including breathing patterns, heartbeats, and through a system called a micro-Doppler.
I'm a bit worried about that because I'm a vampire, as you know, and it won't pick me up, so it'll think that there isn't a life form in the car, and then I'll drown.
Exactly. So if you're a vampire, don't buy an Apple car.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go through the entire list, but there's carbon dioxide density detectors, there's cameras. But what's interesting is their virtual reality system. So they're creating this VR system, which looks like it may be a display that appears on your windscreen of some sort.
So, George, I mean, this sounds really good, but let's be serious for a second. There are people who make fridges and dishwashers who also make cars, right? I mean, like, you can buy certain – they make all kinds of appliances, including cars. I'm trying to think of a brand name at the moment, but there are some.
Well, Samsung's an example of a company that doesn't necessarily stick to its knitting. You know, Samsung's got phones, Samsung's got fridges, washing machines. I suppose that's what you're referring to.
So what's that? Exactly. So why would it be a problem if they also had to develop a car as Apple? I mean, why the hell not? This phone has been the most useful invention of my life, without a doubt. So if they can come up with a new form of transportation and a car that kind of does things differently, I don't see why that would be a problem.
I don't see why it would be a problem either. And, you know, we've got to acknowledge the fact that cars are no longer in the future going to be a traditional car the way we think about it. It's going to be a electronic device like your phone. That's all it is. It's a piece of hardware that has computerized software inside. And that's what it's going to be.
Very exciting.
And you've already
glad to be alive.
I mean, you've already said to us that the technology, the software is more important in most cars that they make these days because the hardware is more or less the same and hasn't really changed tremendously. But the software has changed in leaps and bounds. So what you're really paying for is the software.
Exactly. You're paying for what that car can do electronically rather than physically.
And you're paying for it as well.
And we're paying for it.
Yeah.
And then you'll like this one, Gareth. Amazon gets official approval to fly drones.
Yeah, I saw that this week. I'm very excited. But it'll still be a long time before they come to South Africa.
Yeah, I think so. So these drones, if you've got a parcel that is under 5 pounds in weight, the drone will deliver the parcel up to 15 miles away, and it will take 30 minutes. So imagine a world where you want something delivered, you click, and half an hour later, it's at your front door.
That's excellent.
I hate to think like this, but I can't wait for South African criminals to start getting creative with this. Criminals will be standing on rooftops waiting for drones and jumping up at it, hoping to catch onto something. Oh, it's going to be a mess.
Well, there's a market in America for devices that actually monitor your doorstep. So when people deliver packages to your house, there are cameras that that will notify you that something's been delivered. So even if you're not at home, you know there's a package and you can have someone put it inside or whatever.
We don't have steps that are, out in the open in this country.
No, in this country, we don't have doorsteps that are on because people will steal it from you in the street or in your house or on your doorstep.
I don't know if you've ever heard of the Ring video doorbell.
That's the one, yeah.
Yeah, so I've got one on the front of my house.
Okay.
And when somebody comes within, I think it's a meter of this doorbell, the camera sends you a notification. It's pretty cool, but sometimes annoying because it detects more than just human beings.
Yeah, George, I've got to ask you something. We got a question from someone here. I think it is tragic that you call yourself a car guy, but then you say that cars will become electronic devices like phones one day. Real car people love an engine and hardware, and they want to know about, you know, the performance of this very complicated vehicle, which is like over 100 years old. And here you are talking about it like it's a cell phone. Do you feel that that's a conflict of interests?
No, I would. I mean, a small correction. I'm not a car guy. I am an automotive guy. So the subtle difference is that I'm a proponent of the future of whatever the automotive industry will become.
Yeah, and real car people would say no. They cling to tradition and to mechanics.
They are petrol heads, I suppose. Okay. Those people don't want to accept the future of electric vehicles because the sound of the car is very much in their blood.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to develop two different kinds of people then in the future. They're going to be those people who want the technology and those people who like the old mechanical stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, that's like when in the 19, just as we crossed the Rubicon of the 1900s, we had to move from horses to cars. And you still get horse people today.
Yeah, that's true.
You do. You know, George, I put up a video on my Facebook, which I'll share on other social media today, about the widow Benz. Not the widow. She was the wife of the guy who invented the first car in Germany, Benz, right? As in Mercedes-Benz. And it's this video. It's about a minute. No, in fact, it's longer than that. It's about 4 minutes long. It's about how she's driving this thing through Germany. And all the children run and scream and drop whatever they're carrying and scream, witch, because, you know, she's on this mechanical thing that moves on its own without a horse.
Yeah.
And then she stops at a pharmacy in this little village because she runs out of fuel. And she buys a bunch of fuel from the pharmacist, puts it in the engine, and then drives away again. And apparently it's a true story about the wife of Mr. Benz.
Wow.
And it's beautifully told, and it's filmed really well, and it does more than any ad I've ever seen to kind of do things for the brand of Mercedes-Benz. And because it's told so beautifully, it made me think, we don't appreciate how much has happened in just, you know, more than 100 years. And in cars, I mean, the idea that we had to walk, or if you were lucky and you owned a horse, you could ride by horse. But those were the only options available to people. And, you know, later on the steam engine and all that kind of thing. But individually transporting ourselves around, it's not an old thing. This is only 110 maybe years old.
You start to appreciate the technology when, have you ever been stuck in the middle of nowhere and then your mind starts calculating you know, at 5 kilometers an hour, how long would it take me to get home?
Yeah.
If I walked. You know, you don't realize that doing 60 kilometers an hour makes a massive difference to your life, because if you had to walk there, like people would have done in 1830, life is a very, very, very big place. Just in the last 100 years, you know, I can go up to the shopping center in 5 minutes when it would probably take me about 45 to walk.
Yeah.
Sure.
And plus your feet would be sore.
Yeah. You don't want to sit down and not walk around the shopping center.
Oh, right. Yeah. Exactly. Anyway, I just thought it would be interesting to remark on that, because it's a really cute ad. Just look it up. I think it's an actual official Mercedes-Benz ad, but it's 4 minutes long, and it's the story of this woman and her two children driving through Germany and running out of fuel. It's really cute.
I'm going to look it up. I'm going to look it up and post it as well.
Right.
Then Volvo launches a car subscription in the UK. So you can rent a Volvo, proper rent. This isn't rent to own or any of those other fancy things where you actually own the car. This is a proper rental. Monthly payments start from £559, which is a 12,478 Rand for the entry-level Volvo XC40 T3. So now I did some maths. I thought, that sounds expensive. But if you bought a Volvo XC40 T3 in South Africa, you would pay the monthly a repayment on that car with no deposit over 72 months is about 13,000 Rand a month.
Mm.
So renting this car for 12,478 Rand is actually not badly priced.
It's cheaper. And, makes sense.
It's cheaper. Yeah. You can give the car back with 3 months' notice. You can withdraw from the scheme. You can change the car. You can do whatever you like. You're not shackled to that car. Now, millennials like Sia, I think, would love this this ability.
Yeah, and then obviously you don't have to service it either.
Well, everything included.
And so, Sia, you wouldn't even have to open the bonnet.
Well, I know that's because you opened the, I don't know what the thingamajou and the didgeridoo and the
Sia thinks the bonnet is the boot.
He puts his laptop next to the battery.
in reverse, yeah.
All right, so in other words, it's cheaper to rent than it is to buy if this Volvo thing is available.
That's a really good option. You don't have to deal with the messiness of trying to sell your car and having it valued and fixing it up before you sell it.
So, George, do you reckon a lot of brands are going to start moving this way now?
Well, you know, I suppose the first mover is always the one that that learns and teaches the market, which is a good thing. They're always the most innovative and they lead the market. So I bet you the other OEMs are watching Volvo very carefully. You know, if it works out for Volvo, very quickly, I reckon the rest of them will be on bandwagon.
Hmm. Yeah, those OEMs, yeah.
Yeah.
Original equipment manufacturer.
Thank you.
Yes, baby steps, George. You don't want to burn their brains out in one morning.
All right,
make a note of that. Last story just for you, Gareth. An official flying car called the SkyDrive SD-03 has completed successful manned test flights in Japan.
Yay. I love this.
So the car flew for, let me post a link for you, because I know you're going to want to see this. What confuses me a little bit is that if you look at the picture of this SkyDrive SD-03 flying car, it doesn't have wheels. It's got skids like a helicopter, and it looks like a drone. So I'm not sure it fits into the flying car category.
I don't care. I like it.
But SkyDrive Incorporated in Japan reckons that this is going to be the mode of transport for the future.
Oh, I love this. I want one now, George. Find out how much they cost.
Okay. We will find out what it
is. Seriously, get one to the – come on, you guys at Auto Trade, and you know people. Bring one here and let's test it. Come on.
Let's test it. We can do a flight between Auto Trader's office and Cliff Central's office. It's not far. I'm sure they'll make it.
I love this thing. It looks cute. It looks like a drone. Except it's got like helicopter skids, and then you sit in the middle. It's great. You got a helmet on. It's terrific. I want one.
And it's not big. It's 4 meters long, 4 meters wide, and 2 meters high. It's pretty much the size of your car.
I love it. Let's go. There's no need to mess around. Let's do this.
I agree. I think this is the way of the future.
All right. Very good.
You guys are so wonderful.
My handbag and my bottles of wine.
Leanne, if you're flying around with your dog and your handbag and your bottles of wine, I don't know if this is the car for you. Just guessing. I think maybe
because you guys are so good for always thinking about the best in humanity, thinking about how forward thinking this flying car is. I think about people who still, you know, who jam their hands or fingers between closing their car door. What's going to happen with a car like this? They're going to get their hair stuck in a propeller. Yes.
Many more deaths, but it'll be Darwinian. Many more deaths. I'm happy to take the chances. CliffCentral.com.